evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, February 11th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri. Here are our top stories this evening. Some Zimbabweans criticized ZANU-PF Politburo for allegedly failing to come out with workable plans to address the country's problems.
The president did well to dwell on the things that he had set the agenda for, whilst a lot of people, a lot of in the media had expected chastisement or even to chase away some people from the party, so to speak.
Zimbabweans welcome a ruling compelling South African police to take to court arrested immigrants within 48 hours.
We view that ruling with jubilation and joy. It is a ruling that has put relief into the minds of Zimbabweans and other nationals who are living in South Africa.
The High Court is now set to hear a case in which fired councillors want to be reinstated.
The continued stay of the commission without the issue of the councillors being brought to finality is a problem on its own.
And some Zimbabweans are expected to hold peaceful Valentine's Day protests this weekend. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe yesterday called for unity in his party, but his critics are worried that the ZANU-PF Politburo has not come out with tangible plans for tackling key issues affecting Zimbabweans. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The ruling ZANU-PF Party's supreme decision-making body between congresses, the Politburo, met at the party's headquarters yesterday, only a few minutes after President Mugabe told his supporters that there was no need for internal squabbles in the party. He urged party members to unite. Factionalism has reached a fever pitch in ZANU-PF over Mr. Mugabe's succession, with a group said to be led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa calling itself Team Lacoste, and another known as Generation 40 or G40, alleged to be loyal to First Lady Grace Mugabe, seeking to outwit each other at any available opportunity. Urungwe East legislator Sarama Walker, who is also the ruling party's national secretary for finance in the Women's League, touched a storm when she called on Mnangagwa to restrain his backers from using violence as he seeks to take over from Mr. Mugabe in the event that he leaves office. But Mawoka's remarks that were made in the full glare of Mr. Mugabe and his two deputies, Mnangagwa and Pelekezela Mpoko, were criticized by some in the fractious ZANU-PF, a pro-ZANU-PF group calling itself Save ZANU-PF campaign, which also claims to be seeking the restoration of the ruling party's founding principles, said Mawoka's utterances were pre-planned and meant to embarrass Mnangagwa. The group's national coordinator, Godfrey Tsenengam, issued a statement calling on the party's disciplinary committee, chaired by Mpoko, to suspend Mawoka after going through the party's internal disciplinary processes. Another ZANU-PF supporter, Champion Gonese, said Mr. Mugabe was right to call for his party members to stop attacking each other on social media, saying this does not portray the party in good light ahead of the 2018 general elections. Higher Education Minister Jonathan Moyo and presidential spokesperson George Charamba have been fighting over the succession question.
The president did well to dwell on the things that he had set the agenda for, whilst a lot of people, a lot of in the media had expected chastisement or even to chase away some people from the party, so to speak. But I think, in essence, there's a certain freedom that is letting the people undress each other in the social media. I don't think it's a proper way of doing things.
A group of war veterans had earlier threatened to bar Moyo from yesterday's Politburo meeting, but the former freedom fighters were a no-show at the ZANU-PF headquarters. Independent political researcher Chenesani Ntungagwa said factionalism is part of ZANU-PF's political processes.
If they are using media space, in my opinion, that's another form of mileage. It shows that they acknowledge the existence of the media as a platform for expression. It's unfortunate that they might be attacking each other, but from a personal point of view, this is not new. It didn't start now. These things have been happening. Faction issues in ZANU-PF have been happening for years, since the time of Zobov, Mawofa, way back.
Mr. Mugabe yesterday said the factional fights were giving former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai and his party some relevance. MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu noted that his party is concerned that the ruling party is not putting its eyes on the ball instead of concentrating on the country's comatose economy and drought affecting thousands of people in the countryside. Gutu said it is worrisome that the Politburo chose to dwell on petty factional fights in the ruling party.
All what we want to be addressed is the deteriorating situation in the country, particularly regarding to the impending drought that is going to affect no less than 3 million people throughout the country. We also want the ZANU-PF regime to focus on matters to do with the resuscitation of the economy.
This view was shared by independent political analyst David Masunda.
It's important that the party must have some sort of discipline. It should not be seen to be tearing itself apart in the public. It's like washing dirty linen in the public. The other issue, though, of course, is that there's freedom of expression, and journalists, as we are, would love to have these people talk about issues that are bedeviling the party in social media, because social media is the norm these days.
Harare resident Kelvin Hamandishe said the failure by ZANU-PF to deal with problems affecting the nation and the infighting within the ruling party should be a wake-up call to the opposition.
I have never thought that ZANU will ever be ready for an election. I've always felt ZANU is an 11th hour party. It starts to operate last minute.
Masunda added that Mr. Mugabe, who turns 92 on February 21st, has lost control of his party.
Given maybe the advanced age that he is at now, and also the kind of divisions that are tearing ZANU-PF apart, I think they are now beyond his control. The main problem within the party now is that the divisions are over, even his own succession. So how can he control that?
The ZANU-PF Congress endorsed Mr. Mugabe as the party's presidential candidate for the 2018 elections. At the same time, the expulsion of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru from both government and the ruling party has not stopped the succession debate within and outside ZANU-PF. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Many Zimbabweans have welcomed the South African High Court ruling, which compels the police to take to court arrested immigrants within 48 hours. A Gauteng North Court ruled that a section of the Immigration Act was unconstitutional as it allowed for prolonged detention of suspects contrary to the country's criminal law, which stipulates that all detainees must appear in court within 48 hours of arrest. The matter was taken to court by the South African Lawyers for Human Rights, who were challenging its constitutionality. Zimbabwe Exiles Forum coordinator Diana Zimbudzana says the ruling is a welcome development because many foreigners, including Zimbabweans, were often forced to spend days or even weeks in police detention as a means to force them to pay bribes.
We view that ruling with jubilation and joy. It is a ruling that has put relief into the minds of folks, Zimbabweans and other nationals who are living in South Africa. It comes with it a relief that now finally both the police and the Department of Home Affairs through its immigration can now follow the law, and the law that they were following before these two sections of the law were struck out was illegal and void. And this is very, very good news for Zimbabweans.
Do you see the South African police complying with this ruling?
They have to comply. Otherwise, if they do not comply, then there will be questions of the rule of law in South Africa, a question that we have been asking about the Zimbabwean situation, and we don't want to see the same happening here, considering that South Africa has got a stronger constitution than any other country in the world.
Most Zimbabweans have been living in South Africa illegally. What's the next step following this ruling for Zimbabweans to stay in that country legally?
Well, they have to legalize their state. That is, that goes without a question. We believe people should legalize their state. And there are people who want to legalize their stay, but unfortunately, because of what happens at the immigration offices or at the refugee reception offices, people are then worried of going there to apply and legalize their stay. So we want also the Department of Home Affairs, so is the Immigration Department, to really make sure that people have easy access to these facilities so that people can really legalize their stay.
That was Zimbabwe Exiles Forum coordinator Diana Zimbudzana on the phone from Pretoria, South Africa. The High Court will next week hear a case of suspended Gweru councillors who are seeking an order to be reinstated. This comes at a time city residents are angry over the current commission appointed by the Minister of Local Government, which they say is not delivering the necessary services. Our correspondent Chaurai Shava brings us more details from Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
Attorney Reginald Chidawanyika, one of the lawyers representing the councillors, told Studio 7 over the phone that the High Court in Bulawayo had set February 18th as the date on which the matter will be heard. Chidawanyika said his clients have made an application to the court for a final order to have them reinstated, adding that he was optimistic that the order would be granted and possibly bringing closure to the drawn-out case. Kasukwere suspended all 18 Gweru councillors last August on allegations of incompetence and corruption. He later fired three councillors who have since been replaced through a by-election. The minister had appointed a three-member tribunal which was supposed to conduct disciplinary hearings. But 11 of the councillors, including Mayor Mtendi Kombai, filed an urgent chamber application at the Bulawayo High Court seeking to overturn their suspension and also to halt the hearings. Gweru Council is currently being run by a commission which Kasukwere put in place after the councillors' suspension. Cornelius Elipiwe, the chairperson of the Gweru Residents and Ratepayers Association, told Studio 7 that his organization hopes the issue of suspended councillors will be brought to finality soon as residents are disgruntled by the prolonged stay of the commission, which they accuse of not being accountable to them.
The continued stay of the commission without the issue of the councillors being brought to finality is a problem on its own. There is no link whatsoever between the commissioners and the residents. So it is only prudent and wise for this matter to be brought to finality so that if those councillors that are found on the wrong side of the law, they must be fired or brought to book. But those who are found not guilty should be brought back to work. We will, as residents, applaud whatever judgment that is going to come. We can't continue having the commissioners around. They are expensive and we need councillors that we can talk to about the issues of self-delivery.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights has successfully challenged the withholding of ordinary level examination certificates for two O-level students by their former authorities after they had failed to settle school fees and levy arrears. The two, who sat for their examinations in 2013 and 2014 at Townsend High School, have since been ordered to go and collect their certificates at the school after the authorities bowed down to a challenge through a letter by the lawyers group. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
The Zimbabwe Activists Alliance says it will go ahead with its proposed Valentine's Day march Saturday, despite attending a joint Operation Command meeting today that did not resolve anything and left the members disillusioned. Zimbabwe Activists Alliance coordinator Tendai Linet Mudewe says they informed the Police Internal Security Intelligence Department, or PC, of their intended march on Tuesday, but were surprised to get an invitation instead to attend the JOC meeting. JOC comprises top members of the police, army, central intelligence organization, and the Zimbabwe Prison Services. The march will run under the theme, I Love My Zimbabwe. Mdewe tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye they've decided to use this day of love to signal their patriotism and love for the country.
As invited guests, we attended the meeting at Harare Central Police Station. In the meeting, the dispo for Harare District, dispo Saonyama was chairing the meeting. And I went to the meeting in the company of Lennon, who is from Yard, Misty Dumba, who is from Zimbabwe Activist Alliance, and Reverend Daira, who is also from Zimbabwe Activist Alliance.
So what was the outcome of the meeting?
The meeting had no outcome, and the meeting was never supposed to come with an outcome because the laws of Zimbabwe say we must just notify the police. So we notified the police. That is the reason why they invited us for a meeting. That was done. It can never be erased. We notified the police. The meeting itself, there was a lot of harassment that was going on in the meeting with the dispo, Mr. Saonyama, asking a lot of questions that were irrelevant to the purpose of the meeting, which you also don't really know the purpose, because there was no agenda for the meeting. We just attended. So there was no outcome vis-a-vis, are we being allowed to march or are we not being allowed to march? Constitutional section number 59 of our Zimbabwe Constitution allows any Zimbabwean to demonstrate for any grievances or any praises or any issues that they have, as long as their demonstration is going to be peaceful.
So what is the way forward for you? Are you going ahead with the march?
Yeah, this meeting, all it did was to waste our time. We are following the Constitution of Zimbabwe, Section 59. We have notified the police. They can never say we did not notify them. We had a meeting with them. We are going ahead with the march.
That was Tendai Lynette Mudewe, coordinator of the Zimbabwe Activists Alliance, speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from Harare. Police were not available for a comment. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. Coming up, a closer look at friction within the ruling ZANU-PF party following a Politburo ruling outlawing use of some media for attacking other members. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. U.S. Defense Chief Ash Carter appealed today to his counterparts in the U.S.-led coalition conducting aerial attacks on Islamic State in Iraq and Syria for more military and financial help to carry out the campaign. Russia is proposing talks about a ceasefire in Syria, but European diplomats are skeptical about the offer, which they see as a delaying tactic that would allow intense Russia airstrikes in Aleppo to continue. Burundi says it feels vindicated now that the United States has accused the Rwandan government of involvement in destabilizing activities in the country. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs Linda Thomas-Greenfield told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Wednesday that there are credible reports that Burundian refugees in Rwanda are being recruited to participate in armed attacks on the Burundian government. And global markets are once again on a downward path today, with investors fleeing to safer investments as oil prices fall below $30 a barrel. ZANU-PF says it has banned its members from using social and conventional media for denigrating colleagues, a clear move seen as an attempt to stop factionalism that is currently ravaging the party. Professor Jonathan Moyo has been using his personal Twitter account to provoke discussions on various issues, including suspected moves by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa to take over aging President Robert Mugabe's post if he leaves office. On the other hand, Mnangagwa is believed to have been using some politicians like War Veterans Minister Christopher Mutsangwa to hit back on Moyo's accusations through utilizing the state-controlled media. Now, the ZANU-PF Politburo, which held a crucial meeting yesterday, has ruled that all this must stop. According to the state-controlled Herald newspaper, the party further noted that factionalism has no space in the ruling party, whose center of power is President Robert Mugabe. ZANU-PF members have welcomed this move, while critics say the president has become a major stumbling block in addressing most issues affecting the country. For Perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks with Joseph Chuma, a ZANU-PF lawmaker and Central Committee member, and Abednego Bebe, an MDCT lawmaker. Chuma says outside forces and not Mr. Mugabe are causing havoc to Zimbabwe.
Leaders are given mandates, they are given time to carry out their duties, and our president right now has got that mandate. We won resoundingly in 2013, and he's going to be 2018 when the next elections are slated for. So for now, definitely, why must you be talking or questioning about the presidency or any other thing? Let him carry out his duties that he was voted in for by the majority of Zimbabweans. Zimbabweans spoke on July 31, 2013, and said, once President Robert Mugabe to lead the nation. So he still has that mandate. He hasn't failed it at all. He has carried it out very diligently. He has even doubled it with the AU mission that he just completed now. And so let him do his job, and we all support him. So a one center of power scenario is always the best, because that way we don't have a lot of misplaced guidances that will stem out. We all know that our leader is one, and he's still there. He still has the mandate, and he's still so capable, and he's doing so well, and so therefore we all rally behind him.
Apart from all this kind of politics, Mr. Pepe, you know, what should the ZANU-PF party focus on from now onwards?
Well, the ZANU-PF party should focus on retiring, because in life, one has to work, get tired, or get old and retire. And if you find that someone believes that he is an omnipotent person, is a demigod, he cannot retire, if he remains strong until he dies, or he remains strong, strong infinity, then there is something wrong. So every other person has got to get to a certain point where he retires and say, okay, pass the baton to somebody else to take over and run the nation. So our strategy here in Zimbabwe is because we've got a people or we've got a party that believe that they are omnipotent, they are demigods, they cannot relinquish power, and they hoodwink Zimbabweans such that they want Zimbabweans to believe that when we went to war to fight for one particular party, which is false and fallacy, unless if they were cheating us during those days when we were fighting. So what I'm simply saying is at least if ZANU-PF were people are friendly and they were driven by the people's interest, they should actually step down and allow other forces to take over and make sure that they correct what they failed to correct in the last bit.
And obviously here, Mr. Chuma, we can hear that Mr. Pepe is talking about the president and that your party is not doing the right things. Your reaction to that?
It is very rhetorical for Mr. Pepe to say that, because I'm sure he clearly knows him being in the hierarchies and the high top hierarchies of his party, MDCT. He knows how they've segmented and splitted into all those several parties that they have now. It was because of that. Tsvangirai himself refused when they challenged him to say, no, he failed as a leader and now we want to renew. And then came out, Wana Biti came out, Wana Mangoma, even Wana Jobs Kala, they came out, Wana Washman, all because of that. Say, no, you have done something wrong, and he still is there. And Pepe himself is still with the same Tsvangirai who refused to actually move out. So now, I wonder how come now he wants to talk about us and my president to be the one who is supposed to retire when his president in his party refused to do the same thing, hence the split. At least with us, we are still one, and we still believe in our president. That's why we're not ready to let him retire. Because remember, his mandate, his power comes from us, the people of ZANU-PF who vote him in there. He doesn't put himself in there. He doesn't wake up in the morning and say, I want to continue. But we are the ones who make resolutions province by province to say, we still have faith in you, we still think you are capable, so keep on doing that. And that's the democracy that we talk about. And so now, what Mr. Bibi wants us to do now is to depart from the democratic ways of doing things. There is no substitute for democracy. Democracy detects that We are supposed to listen to the voices of the people. And the people in ZANU-PF are still saying, Viva President Mugabe, go on with your good works. And therefore, that's why he is still there. He's not there because he wants to be there, or because maybe his family or even his wife wants him there. It is because the people of ZANU-PF, the people of Zimbabwe, still believe that he has to be there. And that is why he is there.
Mr. Pepe, you have got the right to respond.
Well, it is unfortunate that if we hear people just praising a 92-year-old person that is going to rescue this country that he has destroyed for 36 years, then we are in a total mess. If we've got Zimbabweans who are still young and believe that an old man who is 92 years can rescue this country when he destroyed it for 35 years, we've got a problem. And if we've got people that are standing behind somebody who is 92 years, then those people are very cruel. So we are actually being led, by a party that has got cruel people that do not feel sorry for the old man. He's 92 years old, and we know the natural retirement age for anything, whether he's a pastor, whether he's politics, at least 70 years is more reasonable, not 92 years old. And for someone to open his mouth and say a 92-year-old that has actually destroyed the fortunes and the economy of this country for 36 years can have the ideas to resuscitate the same economy that it destroyed, the same country that it destroyed, then I've got a problem. The second thing that I want to tell you, my friend, is he talks about, the party having people like Welshman Nube, people like Mithi. Let me tell you one thing. ZANU-PF itself is a product of ZAPU. So for him to try and tell us that he's talking so ZANU-PF knows that there was Mzorewa, there was Tikerema. It was all those people that were actually moving out of a political system as they transformed. So it is up to Zimbabweans to judge that are we being told the truth that we should follow? Are we being led to a prosperous Zimbabwe, or we are actually being led to this lot?
Mr. Chuma, you have got the last word.
All I am going to say is that the capability of any human being does not lie on age or anything else. It lies on how they carry out their mandates. And like I said before, and I'll repeat it again, our president is still doing a very fine job. He's still superintending over a business in a very fine manner. And so by so doing, we still have confidence in him.
That was Joseph Chuma, a ZANU-PF lawmaker and central committee member. You also heard from MDCT lawmaker and central committee member Abednego Bebe. They were speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Meanwhile, MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai has criticized ZANU-PF for staging a lavish birthday party for President Robert Mugabe in the hunger-stricken Mashingo province. In a statement, Mr. Tsvangirai said Mr. Mugabe's impending million-dollar birthday bash will be akin to hosting a lavish party at a funeral. At the same time, the MDCT leader continued with his rallies in Mashingo province, where he reiterated his party's desire to form a coalition with other opposition parties ahead of the 2018 general elections. Party organizing secretary Abednego Bebe tells Studio 7 reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
We are in Mashingo province, and we just had rallies yesterday in Bikita, in a place called Mukore, and today we're in Gutu, in a place called Teure, and tomorrow we'll be in Ngundu, and the next day we'll be in Mashaba, combining Mashaba and the Mashingo town, then the next day we'll be in Chiretsi, in Triangle. I think what we are doing now, we are actually conscientizing people and reminding them that their problem is none other than the misgovernance that we've seen from the ruling parties and peers. Their problem is we are being governed by a person who has taken this country to be a personal property, and this man is too old to be able to turn around the fortunes of this country.
That was MDCT organizing secretary Abednego Bebe in Mashingo with Studio 7 reporter Ntungamili Nkomo. Now remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Praxidis Jeremiah and Marvelous Mhlanganyawie, will be talking with listeners and experts about Valentine's Day. And now to recap today's top stories. Some Zimbabweans criticized ZANU-PF Politburo for allegedly failing to come out with workable plans of addressing the country's problems. Zimbabweans welcome a ruling compelling South African police to take to court arrested immigrants within 48 hours. The High Court is now set to hear a case in which fired councillors want to be reinstated. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.